Hour with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hola, amigos. It is back to work for your New Orleans Saints. Yeah. I know they had their bonus practice on Monday. Legit back on it on Wednesday, though. You get that injury report. The latest on Michael Thomas, head coach Sean of the Payton, has already spoken. We will have what he had to say this morning as his team is at it right now in the practice fields. We'll touch a little NBA as well. The latest rumor out of L.A. That's right. It's not enough. More help for the King. We'll talk to Jake Mattison, Locked On Pelicans, and something that I was asked this morning. When are we going to have a Pelicans head coach? Well, you're home for Pelicans basketball. He'll try to help fill that in here as well. The Cajun Ninja in Hour 3, because it's Wednesday. And Ralph Marlborough will talk a little Saints storylines as well with us at 2:15. In a very special event we're going to be doing on Friday. We'll touch on it at 12:45. But first, welcome to what I like to call halftime of your work week, the midway point.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day, is that what it is?
Hey, is Shock Team of Digital Underground head coach Sean of the Payton. Caleb the Camel, I'm Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber with you here in Metri. Over in La Rose Studios, his name is Buddy. That's the gentleman that will be taking your phone calls if you want to call in and be a part of the conversation. We'll tell you a little bit about the question of the day here in a second as well. First, some words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
800-998-1003 is the number to give us a call. Got a bunch of open segments so you can chime into your opinion. Larry Holder will join us next segment. Yesterday we spoke a lot about the quarterback position. What are you looking for? What do you like? Who would be next? Again, I'm not tossing this season. It was Tuesday, right? Saints hadn't been into practice yet, coming off the bye week. I'm just, you gotta start thinking and looking. And look, he put out a piece with The Athletic yesterday. Had a picture of Sam Darnold on it. Taysom versus Jameis. What makes sense? What doesn't? This morning I was told by General D, ran into him at the gym. He goes, hey, you know what? Jameis may not be bad. Do you think Jameis would be a good bridge quarterback to what I want, a young quarterback? Do you dare go the route of a young quarterback, a rookie QB with this team the way they are right now, stocked and loaded? I think it's the best time to do it. He doesn't have to come in and win it. Pat Mahomes is an MVP. Pat Mahomes is great. Pat Mahomes showed up with Kansas City on a playoff team. The previous season, Alex Smith and them won 11 in a row. They weren't a bad football team. This is not Sam Darnold. This is not, you know, even Justin Herbert. The Chargers were a playoff team two seasons ago. Not this past one, but the one before that, they were a playoff team. They've battled some injuries. Josh Allen had a decent team at Buffalo. You've seen him sort of grow a little bit. This isn't Joe Burrow, where you have nothing. The receiver yesterday demanding a trade before the trade deadline. I mean, different situations. That's why I'm saying I would rather go the route of a younger quarterback where I'm set up, if it pans out, of course. It's always a, you know, roll of the die and it happens, but I would rather go that way because I have essentially a playoff team around him. If he can extend the play, be a little bit mobile, have a little stronger arm, make some throws, make something out on the, he doesn't have to make a lot happen. Give it to Thomas, give it to Sanders, give it to Traquan, give it to Cook. Now Trotman will be the next tight end. He's got Kamara locked up for the next couple of years. We can always find him. Latavius Murray will keep him. Another back. He's got a lot. He's got a very young offensive line. Once you give Ramchek his deal, he's going to be there a while. You have a lot there for you. Some nice pieces on defense. Still need some tinkering, of course. Saw today that Marcus Williams fired his agent today. I don't know what that means, but so I look at it as if you're going to go with a young quarterback, you're basically just taking his skill set and adding it to a very talented team. So I don't think I'm completely off base or going bananas by saying, hey, I'd go that route or not. Now, I could also understand maybe going with, say, Jameis Winston. He's here. He's learning the offense.
When you need them.
He can be your bridge quarterback. That sort of, you know, is a guy that can play for the next year or two, has the starting experience. He's a veteran. He's somebody that a younger quarterback can learn from. Maybe you do like a 2-3 year deal with Jameis, and then the quarterback you draft will be ready to take on over. So I could understand and see that as well. He's a guy that started 5 years. He's a guy that should hopefully maybe know a little bit of the offense. By the time next year comes around, he'll have some OTA and minicamp if things go better. So I could understand that. But at the same time, keep in mind, a team that drafted him to be the franchise quarterback gave up on him. Now, can he be better? I don't know. Can he be the guy that you give a 5-year, $7,500 million? I'm not there. You know? So, there's some interesting options. So, I'm interested to hear what Larry has to say when it comes to that, as to where he kind of looks at it. Because, like I said, I can understand, you know, and look, I've heard, hey, what about Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, well, look, they're playing very well right now. And if I'm the Packers, how soon am I going to Jordan Love? I'm probably waiting another year or two. Rodgers waited a few. Right? I mean, there's no pressing need and hurry. Now, if the Packers and Rodgers wouldn't have played well this year, sure. But they lost one game and everyone's acting like they fell off the face of the earth. They're still a very good football team. But that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't mind doing that. So we can talk a little bit about that coming up with Larry next segment. And as I mentioned with Jake Madison, just I kind of thought we were going to get a head coach by the end of the week, last weekend, Monday. We're not Wednesday. I got nothing, right? So we'll get the very latest on that. And, yeah, a guard that you're familiar with here, CP3, being linked to the Lakers already. More help needed, apparently. So we'll touch on all of that and more. Question of the day, Saints fans, as you know, I like to do this on Wednesday. What is your top storyline heading to Sunday's matchup against the Panthers? Now, earlier in the week, back on Monday, a couple of players are made available for the media by the Saints. And, you know, one of the storylines that Amy just said yesterday to her, it was Teddy Bridgewater and playing Teddy Bridgewater again. And there were a lot of Saints fans last year that loved Teddy. Mickey Loomis yesterday on WWL Saints radio saying, hey, it bothered him. He wished he hadn't gone to a divisional opponent. Everybody liked Teddy, but everybody also understood, right? Why? Starting job, starting position. He has him 3-3. He's played very well, and they got what they wanted. Now, a lot of people said, hey, maybe he should have been the guy. Just sign him to longer term. It just didn't pan out that way. There's one thing that's interesting, though. Everyone loved Teddy Bridgewater as a teammate. This was Marcus Davenport on Monday.
Teddy, what the most thing that stood out was his energy. You know, Teddy always talks about being blessed to play the sport. And, you know, you see him, you see what he's doing, you see what he's done, and you just kind of feel that sense too. That, you know, it's a blessing to be here. And, he brings a different kind of energy that makes you excited. You know, he's always trying to talk to everybody and get to know everybody. So, you know, he's just one of them real teammates. You know, like I said, it's a blessing, you know, to see what he's been doing. And, I know we can't wait to get after him. So, yeah, it's great.
This was Jared Cook as well on Monday, being happy for Teddy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think his life alone is kind of what this league stands for and kind of what a lot of guys go through in terms of, you know, the battle of time and the battle of injury versus being out there on the field. And that's about resilience, you know. I think through his life story and through the things he went through and him still being able to come out on top and conquer and be successful to be where he's at now, I think that's kind of the story of most players in this league, of being resilient and fighting to where you want to get and never taking no for an answer. And we're all happy for him, of course. You know, he definitely deserves it for sure.
I think the fans embraced him. The team embraced him. It was awesome to sort of see from that situation. Now, as far as, of course, facing him, it's going to be something that they have to do now twice a season. And we're going to get to that, what head coach Sean Payton had to say. But first, the big news yesterday afternoon, early evening, the Saints and the city coming to an agreement to have fans in the dome, baby. Buddy, woo, 30,000. No, I'm sorry. I added a zero, 3,000 fans. I guess it's a start. Head coach Sean Payton on the fans.
Gosh, I don't know. It's good to see that obviously both teams worked together and came up with a plan, not just for this game, but for the upcoming schedule. It's hard to gain an idea without really seeing, you know, each week. I think it's great that we'll have more and more fans there safely, I might add, and we'll kind of go from there.
So that's Coach Payton on it. I'll love to get your comments on that as well, if you like. Bottom of the hour, and we have the next open segment. Do you think three is good, three is not? They put out a little timeline as to how it's going to increase. I want to say the most it's going to be 12 or 13, and that will be like the last game of the year. So it's not going to be the 25,000 that you would have gotten Tiger Stadium. There you go. Head coach Sean Payton, the next biggest topic to touch on, Michael Thomas. Everybody wants to know about that punishment. Is it one game? Is it not? Is he going to play, coach, on MT?
Yeah, we'll see. I think he's feeling better. And so, you know, we really don't get into injuries or predictions. So you guys will be the first to know.
Sean, the discipline portion is over, though? That was just one game with him?
Yeah.
And how did he respond to that?
That's it, Mike. Okay. That's it. Not interested in talking about, you know, how he responded. We're getting ready for Carolina this week. We had a good bye week, and here we are.
There you go. That's it, buddy. Stop texting me more questions about Michael Thomas. That's it. That's all you get. Maybe, maybe not. You see him on Sunday. You're going to see him on Sunday. Everyone is expecting to see him on Sunday, right? Anyway, head coach Sean Payton on the bye week. How did it go in his estimate?
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, it's an important game. It's a division game. You know, you really can't control when your bye week is. We had ours, and you know, we handled a few things that we wanted to address, and now we're, you know, counting on a good work week. You know, first home game. It's the first or second home game at noon start time. So we're kind of on a traditional schedule, if you will.
How about preparing for a team that has a new head coach and new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I just finished with our team meeting. This season's Carolina Panthers is entirely different than what we've known for years, you know, under Coach Rivera. And obviously, Coach Rule's there now. So we're seeing an entirely different defensive structure with new faces, an entirely different offensive structure. Now, granted, from an offensive standpoint, there's some similarities, but it's not what we've had prior when we faced Carolina. So new offense, new defense, new coordinators, obviously new head coach, that goes without saying. And so that's where the preparation lies. The film, the players themselves, and then what they're doing within the scheme, and then what they're doing in the kicking game.
All right, so what kind of traits do you see over at Carolina?
Well, look, it starts with all the things we saw. He's got an outstanding skill set. He moves. He's got good arm strength. He's accurate. He's a fantastic leader. And players play hard, you know, when they're with him. And but it starts with his ability. And I think that you're seeing him extend plays. He does it, you know, throwing, although he'll tuck it if he needs to. And, you know, he spread the ball around well.
So that's Teddy. Of course, some of the traits that he brought over to Carolina, and we'll see how familiar that offense looks perhaps with him running that offense.
Yeah, I mean,
remember,
look,
Joe Brady?
There's quite a bit, you know, from a scheme standpoint. It's you know, it's interesting. There's always a few wrinkles, and I think, you know, the tape is good to watch. Teddy's playing extremely well. I think they've got good balance, and have found that with Mike Davis. I think the front's playing very well, and then outside, you know, it's one of the better receiving cores that we've seen with the addition of Anderson coming in. I mean, you can see the confidence that those guys are playing with, and you do recognize, you know, a lot of your schemes and a lot of different, you know, formations, and they're not just ours. They're kind of league-wide, but the way they're presented.
It's the Sports Hangover. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. When we return, Larry Holder of The Athletic will talk a little Saints. His quarterbacks, part of his latest article, and his top storylines as we get into Carolina week. What are yours? Tweet us at ESPN Radio Nola. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover. Excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. They're located at 3829 Vets, right behind the Fidelity Bank building, Suite 101B. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self. Testosterone therapy, annual physicals, and IV therapy. Look, go get tested. They have on-site labs. You can get test results while you're there. Low T can produce physical changes like reduced energy and increased body fat, reduced libido, ED, and give you emotional changes. Visit menstotalhealth.net today and see if they can help you.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm, Larry Holder, The Athletic. There was the Saints among many other things as well. Writes columns over there at Larry Holder. Is a way to follow on Twitter. Sir, how are you?
I'm good, Goose. How are you?
Doing very well. So good timing yesterday. Not that we ever knew that you were going to post something on QBs. It was just Tuesday, and I was just kind of looking at it. And just disgusting. We had John Forcade in here as well, the QB. So we're talking quarterbacks, and we're just talking about what would you want in that next Saints quarterback. And we kind of did that, I think, last year, too, not knowing if you're staying with Teddy and such, and Drew got hurt, whatever. But in short, I'm like, I could go young. I wouldn't mind a young buck, even a rookie, because you have a pretty good team around you. And I could understand a bridge quarterback, say like a Jameis Winston or a veteran or a young quarterback that has experience from another place. And lo and behold, I see your tweet. Boom. One of the things you mentioned is about the future at quarterback. What kind of mindset did you have when you went into it? What were you looking to try to find out?
Well, look, I just wanted to go find people who I deem smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, my ego is very high, so it took a while to find some of these people. But
okay.
No, look, I went and found, I'll just say the five names, you know, Kurt Warner, we all know Kurt Warner, Lewis Riddick, of course, Monday Night Football, ESPN, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network,
yep.
Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, and he was a 20-year scout in the NFL, and Greg Cosell, who works at NFL Films and does the NFL matchup show on ESPN. And their opinions were kind of all over the map. And that's, it was, I had no idea that was the way it was going to be when I went into this. I didn't know anyone's real opinions when I went into it. And it was really fascinating to me. And it's something that, and I wrote it. No, I didn't just like come up and like, oh, let me just throw this out here today.
Right.
Like, I wrote it because we're heading into the Carolina Panthers. You know how much I appreciated and have lauded Teddy Bridgewater. So I thought he could have been the heir apparent. He's not, and now he's coming to New Orleans. And so that was kind of the premise of why I wrote it then. Look, it's definitely an eye-opener just from some extremely knowledgeable people and really makes you think, man, it might not be so cut and dried.
Boom.
Whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston.
That's where I was going to go next, because I do find it fascinating that you were fascinated by what you were fascinated from, in that it isn't.
I love being fascinated, Gus.
You
Let's
like that. I'm sure you do.
How many
but
times
it's not. It's not black and white, is it? And that's, and what you just said is why so many teams miss more than hit on a franchise quarterback. That you don't know. You know, I'm talking about Trey Lance, Larry. I love Trey Lance. One season though, right? I mean, John's like, I need to see better competition. I need to see more than 1 year. Why didn't no one else recruit him? I'm like, well, they recruit him at different positions, not quarterback. But so you have that aspect of it. What are the traits you look at? Is poise and leadership more important than, hey, he's so athletic, but he's not accurate and I can work with him? Do I want a project? And I think really it boils down to me, the most important thing, Larry, is where is your team? What are you looking for? If you're at the bottom like the Bengals, you start with that, right? I mean, you start with him. If you're a team that is good but need a change there, okay, well, then those are some of the things you're looking at. And when I look at the Saints, this is a team that is going to be, I think, at least a playoff team or a team that can maybe be in the playoffs for a couple of years. So I think you're getting a quarterback that to add to the team. Am I kind of off on that or am I right?
I have a hard time seeing them just straight up turn into a rookie just because of the talent around you. I just can't see it, which is why I feel like Jameis Winston is maybe more of an option than maybe we realize. Even though we know Sean Payton's very enamored with Taysom Hill. I mean, has that changed in the last few games? I'm going to say probably not. You know, I know people go up, getting up in arms about Taysom, but I don't think it's that changed that much. And so much so where Lewis Riddick, my story, you know, he talks to Sean Payton leading up to this game, and he's consistent. Like, he feels like Taysom can be that guy. And so, but I could tell you, it's funny in the story, he said, well, guess what? Sean's going to be on an island when he does it, because not a lot of people are going to buy it. And so, yeah, it is, you know, but I just can't see here. And yet here I'm in another boat where, boy, I would like them to invest in a quarterback pretty high. And but who's going to be there? Like, that's the thing. We know the top three quarterbacks at this rate are Trevor Lawrence one, and you could flip two and three, whether it's Justin Fields or Trey Lance. But boy, quarterback needy teams, they might take them 1, 5, 6.
Right.
You know, kind of like what happened this past year.
Right.
So what do you do? And so, you know, it's certainly something interesting. And I've always kind of liked Kyle Trask from Florida, and I was really looking forward to see him play a couple, you know, last weekend, even though the game got postponed, probably a good thing for LSU, obviously, in that sense. But still, yeah, I think it's really going to depend all on what Sean Payton wants to do. And if he has a conviction, he's going to go with it. Everyone else be damned.
Speak with Larry Holt of The Athletic. So we've touched on, obviously, what's here a little bit with Taysom. What are your thoughts on Jameis? Could he, because I said it in the opening segment, I could see a bridge quarterback with him, right? Maybe a 2-year deal, and see what he can do for him and for your team, and see can he has starts. You can still draft a QB, and you can have that 1 year of him to at least learn and kind of get acclimated to the offense and things of that nature if you want to turn the reins over to him in a year or two to be the backup or the starter. So I can understand that. Where you lie with Jameis?
I can see him having a similar deal like Teddy has, but here's the thing, because Teddy's on basically a 2-year deal in Carolina, but if you re-up with Jameis, you're not going to pay him anywhere near Carolina what they paid for Teddy Bridgewater, which that's kind of the good thing here. And maybe you sign him to an inexpensive 1-year deal, and then you jump it up the next year, this, that, and the other, kind of like what they've done with Taysom. You know, lower deal this year, $16 million he's worth it next year. And so, but I think also it's a lot's going to have to do with how Amos works behind the scenes. And it seems like that he has done a really good job of knowing I think he knows that this is a very important year, even if he may never touch the field.
Right.
And learn new habits, develop better traits, develop better ways of studying, this, that, and the other. And look, if you go into the story, look, Kurt Warner had some really telling things to say about Jameis Winston, and that he feels like Jameis does know defenses and this, that, and the other, but, you know, he's not as judicious with the ball. And he's, you know, that's something that he feels like Sean Payton may be able to coach him. And so it's, I do think that they've at least put themselves in a decent spot to have both Jameis and Taysom. And if they don't draft someone, they feel they're at least in a decent spot if Breeze walks, which we all assume he will, that they can at least go 1 year, see what happens, and then reevaluate.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, especially if you can't get up there to get one of those quarterbacks. I can't believe I'm saying it. That's what I miss, not having preseason this year. I would have loved to see Jameis Winston in a game with this offense just to see how it would have gone. About 3 minutes here, Larry, before we wrap up. Larry Holder, The Athletic. What are your storylines going into this week? I know Teddy's one and facing him and stuff, but are more storylines you're going to be focused on Saints related? Like, for me, it is, in terms of I'm naming the next three games the show me slate. Show me you're better than Carolina. Show me you're one of the top teams in the NFC despite the Bears having 5 wins at the time right now. And show me you're the team that beat in the division by winning at Tampa. Show me. It's show me time for the Saints.
No, I think that's a good philosophy. But obviously Teddy, and we don't anticipate Christian McCaffrey coming, but I better see better coverage in the secondary because Robbie Anderson has been a really good addition. DJ Moore, he doesn't have as many catches as Robbie Anderson, but he certainly has plenty of yards. So they've got two viable receivers in there that they feel comfortable with. Mike Davis has been pretty good, in the Christian McCaffrey type role.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see better pass coverage in the secondary. And then I want to see better pass coverage from the linebackers, specifically DeMario Davis. But here's the thing. Like, their offense is really it's really similar. And if you go check out my Saints Panthers cheat sheet that's going to come out Friday, Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater, their map of what they do is extremely and eerily similar. And it's a lot of short things, not taking a ton of risks. So that's, like in Carolina, they're calling him Steady Teddy. So, that's kind of where
Teddy Petty
from there. Steady Teddy.
Oh, Steady Teddy. Got you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's cool, calm, chill.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
whatever. All good. Yeah. So, but I want to see, and I want to see how this O-line handles a defense that's a little better than maybe we thought. But boy, they do not have a lot of big names, Carolina, defensively. I want to see if that O-line can, I feel like this O-line should be able to kind of impose their will on this defensive mm-hmm. front. And if that's the case, boy, you can run the football, protect Drew Brees, get the pass game going. And, oh, by the way, Mike Thomas, he's not punished anymore. At least that's what it sounds like. And he sounds like he's healthy. So, obviously, a huge thing that he's going to be coming back this week.
30 seconds. Anything to make out of Marcus Williams firing his agent?
He's looking for a big contract, which – maybe someone's going to give it to him, but yeah, it's. I think Marcus, I'm just going to say this, I think he needs a change of scenery, and he might be a great player somewhere else. I think it's like kind of like Patrick Robinson. I think he needs a change of scenery.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would have kept Bell and made Chauncey the other safety, and that's where I would have gone in the offseason. That's just me, though. I'm just play coaching for an office staff on a show. That's all I do.
Well, you've been a coach once in life, and yet didn't like. An umpire cursed you out or a parent?
A parent cursed me out as a coach. And right. But I also won as a coach, too. That means I didn't, just didn't get
there
along.
There you go.
That's all.
All right. But that's Pee Wee baseball.
That's exactly right. Hey, always a pleasure, Larry Holder, The Athletic. Good to chat.
Yeah, and please, yeah, go check it out. I mean, lots of people are reading it. It's a really good story. Go check it out about Drew Brees' successor, theathletic.com/forum.
Well, the people you talk to would be in the know. Front office, quarterbacks, scouts, the works. So good job, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. There he goes, at Larry Holder. Thoughts on what he said there? What do you think? Young, vet, bridge, quarterback, what would you do? I know we've been kind of discussing that. In front and center is Teddy Bridgewater coming to town this weekend. Still to come, Jake Madison, Dr. Holly McKenna, Ralph Marlborough, Cage Ninja, your phone calls, tweets, and more. It's the Sports Hangover, where Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm on ESPN New Orleans.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
After falling to the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1982 NBA Finals, the 76ers needed to find the right player to build the ultimate winning team. In September of 82, they acquired restricted free agent Moses Malone. They went on to rack up a 65-17 regular season record and followed that up with a 12-1 postseason record. Malone won the regular season and NBA Finals MVP award.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Adding a leader you need right when you need them. That's how sports teams get ahead and how your business can too. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, got a couple of questions of the day out there. In particular, what is your top Saints storyline going into this week as well? Love to hear from you. You can tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA, or you can give us a call, 800-998-1003. Heard Larry there say, look, obviously Teddy Bridgewater is a storyline going into it, but I think for me it's probably a little bit more to the Saints. I think the Saints have to answer questions. I think the Saints have to show it's time for improvement. Look, it's fine and dandy after the Bucs game. Okay, we didn't, you know, slow start. Penalties, it's the first game of the year. No OTAs, no mini camp, no training camp, no nothing. Gotcha. We're good. Raiders. Man, you started out well, just, you know, it's surprising that a team that is as veteran as it is that played so lousy in the second half. They didn't make adjustments. But you know what? I'll even throw in, fine, look, give it to Gruden, man. Gruden had a good game plan. He adjusted better than Dennis Allen and Sean Payton. And we talked about it going into the bye week when we gave grades. The coaching hasn't been very good. Questionable game plans. Still don't know if this team wants to run the football or not. I know the running backs want to. No, I do. I don't know if Sean, you know, and again, and I get that this philosophy has worked for you in the past, this, hey, any given week we can do that. I don't know if I totally like that. Has it worked? Have they won games? Have they almost been in a Super Bowl? Have they won one? Yes. You can do that philosophy, though, when you have the players around you. You understand what I'm getting at? We've heard from Sean Payton and the Saints for years. Man, you know, maybe this week we run. Maybe next week we're just shotgunning. Drew's throwing 40 times. Maybe I get that if you have the players. I like the, you know, the Joe Paterno philosophy to an extent. If you go back and you read his book and how he became successful, that's why the jerseys all the way to it. Just simply, he would pick like five plays that they practice ad nauseum. Players could run, eyes closed. He could depend on. What's your DNA? What are you known for? And remember I said you were known for and have been known for as a explosive offense that, yes, anybody on a given Sunday can get 5 to 10 catches. Anybody. It's what hurt Marcus Colston nationally in popularity and probably getting recognized the way he should have because of the philosophy. And that works when your quarterback can do it. It works. And you have good receivers. Meacham, Henderson, Moore, Colston, those were really good receivers. Throw in Shockey and Graham. I mean, those were really good. You had a good offensive line for years. If they didn't stay and sign on here and they go sign somewhere else, whether they had success or not, they signed for big deals. Whether it was Reggie or Pierre Thomas, Sproles, right? You had dynamic backs, playmaking. You can do that when you have that. Now, I think there's the making of this, I think, though, as opposed to the passer deficient at quarterback, to an extent, you're hampered a bit to an extent. You just are. We all know it and see it. So it's a little different. So I need an amendment, like I like to say. You can still have the what your constitution is, but give me an amendment. I need the backs to be a little bit more important in this offense. So again, looking at the schedule, Bucks, Raiders, okay, look, Packers, again, you played a solid first half, man. The defense played a solid first half. You went toe-to-toe with them. And even once they got going, your defense started letting you down. They made one play for you. Stop them on fourth down. Here's the ball. You fumbled. We can go back and forth on the play call. We can say, you fumbled. You made the mistake. But you had a chance to take the lead in that game against a team that is going to be there at the end this year. They just are. So you're there. Just haven't played good football at times and in all four quarters. Now, look, nobody really does every game. You always hear coaches and players say, we want four quarters. You can count the games a year where that team, even teams that win 13 games that can say all four quarters, probably the best looking game this season. Which one is it? You want to say Detroit to an extent, but they didn't score in the fourth quarter. That game was a lot closer than either, being they were down 14-0 with running one offensive play. So look at the games this year. In the two wins, the three wins the Saints have, which one would you say was their best game? Which one impressed you the most? I thought it was Tampa. And I was the only one I felt like that week. The week after that, oh man, DeBrees looks terrible. This offense. That team that just barely won. I'm like, what are you talking about? Tampa's good. I thought they played really well. So I think it's Tampa. You think it's Detroit? They're down 14-0. Had run one offensive play. I was tweeting GIFs to the graph and Todd of an atom bomb or the panic button being pressed, right? Because that's what Saints fans are feeling like. You're down 14-0 to the line. Don't even tell me you weren't feeling that. Did you feel good about the Chargers? Was it 20-3 at one point? That's what's remarkable, isn't it? In the three wins, I ask you, in the three wins that the Saints had, when have you felt, did you feel good about them? I almost felt better about some of the losses, to be honest with you. I thought they should have beat the Raiders. They just didn't. Hey, look, good adjustments, good game plan. They got smoked in the second half. They didn't step up. Josh Hill stopped his route. Drew Brees felt the yips. Never got sacked in that game, by the way. Hit 12 times or something, and he mentioned after the game. I didn't have time. Never got sacked. But he mentioned after the game he felt like he never had time. So we could talk about the Panthers and some of I honestly think my number one storyline I would probably phrase it like this. Where are the real Saints? Who are the real Saints? I don't know right now because I'm battling internal conflict and turmoil. My eyes and my brain tell me they're an average football team right now. Again, I just went through the three wins. You tell me. You tell me while you were watching those games, if you felt comfortable, thought this is a good team, this is a Super Bowl team, you tell me in those three wins if that's how you felt. And those three wins are the Bucks, the Lions, and the Chargers. Tell me. Look inside. Tell me. So that's my storyline going into this. Because you didn't have the expectations in Carolina. New coach, new staff, new players. You're turning over your identity. You were led by defense and Cam Newton on offense. And even with him there, and he went to the Super Bowl, he might have had a receiver too. It was Steve Smith. I mean, but now they're changing who they are, their identity. They were led by Kuechly and Davis and stuff in that linebacking field, and they were a defensive team. Who knows what they are? Sean Payton said, I don't know. It's a new team. So there's no expectations there. Well, going to the bye week, that they get currently going into this matchup, they have the same number of wins as you. Your expectation was the Super Bowl. So that's my number one storyline. Who are you? You heard me say it Monday, Tuesday, and I'm saying it again. Show me. Show me who you are. Sean Payton's used all kind of things to motivate, remind, focus his team. He put a street sign, right? Victory Way, whatever it was, in front of the... You know what I'm putting everywhere? Show me. I'm tired at this point, as we get into October 25th, of hearing what you should be. Show me what you are. I've heard consistently, me, Larry, callers, everyone say, Super, okay, we're six, 7 weeks in. Show me. Go out there and show me. Show me you have some of the most talented players in the NFL. Show me the Hall of Fame quarterback can make the right decision. I get he's not throwing bombs. Make the right decision. Be accurate. You got a line that's going to make a lot of money. He's making a lot of money, and we haven't even paid Ramczyk. Show me you can protect him. Stop getting beat. Can you win every block? No, of course not. You know what I'm talking about, realistically. Michael Thomas, you're awesome on Twitter, my friend. I don't know how you don't sprain your thumbs texting. Show me on the field. You text every 5 minutes, you're feeling disrespected. Go get that respect on the field. Show it. Let's see it. Defensively. Show me. Show me you're better. Marcus Williams fired his agent. He wants a big deal. Show me. Stop being the guy that I every week routinely will put you next to coach because you're not playing well. Show me, Malcolm Jenkins. You're the guy Sean Payton invested in a big deal for. I would have paid that money to Von Bell. Show me. Where's that veteran leadership and how you're going to help the younger guys? Show me. And you may be doing that, but show me. Lattimore, goodness gracious. Play to the competition level, Marshawn Lattimore. Play like you want to be the highest paid corner. Play like you're a shutdown corner. Every play. Every play. Every down. Every quarter. Show me. We're seeing some of that this year from a lot of guys. Trey Hendrickson is showing people, right? Show me. That's my number one storyline. Show me you're this team that everybody believed you are. I don't want to hear it anymore. We're 6-7 weeks in. There's no excuses. I don't want to hear we haven't had time, haven't had time on task, no snaps, for crying out loud. You've played 5 games. Who are you? That's where I'm going to find out the next 3 games. Quick break. We come back. A very important event taking place in Luling on Friday. We got invited and we accepted the invite. Joshua Plaisance, Dad's Dat Club. We'll talk to us next. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Park a Kia scary hot right now with the all-new Kia K5, Seltos, Telluride, and Singa. Kia models with award-winning style and tech, plus a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and all for the prices that spook the competition. Drive home in a new 2020 Kia Sportage LX and take $5,000 off the MSRP. Get into a new 2020 Kia Soul LX with Apple CarPlay and pay just $59.99, or a 2020 Kia Forte LXS for only $69.95. So come to Barker Kia and get a scary good deal, because right now all we have is streets. Barker Kia in Homer, or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people, and remember, there's nothing louder. Ooh, wait, did you hear that? Who's there?
I'll take it from here, James. Warranty is limited. Powertrain warranty. See Kia.com. Retail for details. Dark number 2018. 241 MSRP. 25640. 2225. Dealer discount. 2750. Customer pay. Dark number 2018. 099. MSRP. 2017671. Dealer discount. 2500. Customer pay. Dark number 22K. 056. MSRP. 2685. 1940. Dealer discount. 1750. Customer pay. Source DDNL. See dealer for details. Offer ends 11/20.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Ramsey's will sell you a 2-carat diamond.
That's big.
For just $6,495.
$6,495, 2 carats.
You can choose between a 2-carat diamond from a diamond mine
or a 2-carat created diamond.
Compare them side by side, then make your choice.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
What would you say you do here?
Sports. Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. A couple of weeks, months ago, we were there at the Chateau Golf and Country Club doing a show out there, and a nice event was taking place, and met Joshua Plaisance. Dad's Club. I love it. That dad looks like the Superman S, and it's a dad's club, and they go around literally just helping people. It's just a bunch of dads. It's super cool, and it's time to help out. Joshua Plaisance joins us now here on the show. Joshua, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Gus?
I'm doing good. Not only did I remember our awesome conversation, I remember the smells coming from your tent, man. You guys like to cook.
Yes, sir. I was kind of concerned when you said smells coming from the tent, but hopefully it was for the food.
No, it's good. It's good smells, man. No doubt about it. Tell us a little bit about that that dad's club, man.
All right, we got started, you know, 3 years ago. The name kind of tells it all. It's the Dad's Club. What it was a group of dads got together, seeing a need to help people in our community. You know, started off with low budget swim parties, developed into cook-offs, developed into golf tournaments, fishing tournaments. I believe we're in 3 years in our creation, so we're I think we're right around $200,000 that we're giving back to our community.
Wow. That's incredible, man.
100%. Every dollar that we raise, you know, I believe it's 9 of us that are the board members right now. Nine. So 100% of what we make or we raise, in a sense, goes back to whoever we're benefiting. I mean, we're all volunteers. We're working dads, husbands. And so every dollar you spend with us goes to whoever we're benefiting.
You know, when I remember when I was speaking with you guys, what really struck me, and I had you guys come on the air and talk a little about it as to why you were there that afternoon on that Friday, but that just represents to me what South Louisiana is all about, and really Louisiana, but really this part of the country that makes us special and unique. I mean, we hear about the Cajun Navy. We hear about the folks that, you know, we've had go over there, Lake Charles, in the last several weeks and help people after that hurricane that passed by there before they got hit by another one. That's just who we are, though, isn't it, Joshua?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's one of the things that we laugh at is it's, you know, it's a bunch of dads. However, when you come to their events, it's our wives, it's our kids, it's friends, family. It's one of those things, you know, I say all the time is I don't have a lot of friends, but I got a lot of family. You know, once you kind of in our circle, it's, you know, we don't shake hands, we hug, you know, we hug and we kiss everybody. That's just what we do. And, you know, it's the same thing as like once we help people, they become part of our family.